Hello and welcome to the Majlis, the weekly podcast by Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, focusing on Central Asia. I am Mohammed Tahir, your host here in Washington, D.C. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov has just wrapped up his Central Asia tour this week. His stops included Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, and Kyrgyzstan. The visit comes amid increasing economic challenges in Central Asia and decreasing Chinese cash flow. Also, Lavrov's visit coincides with increasing Russian involvement in Afghan affairs. When Lavrov was in the region, Moscow was hosting leaders of all Afghan opposition parties, including high-level members of the Taliban militant group. So what is that Lavrov has been looking for in Central Asia? How to interpret his choice of the countries that he visited and topics he raised? Above all, what does the timing tell us? To discuss all this, I'm joined by Jeff Mankoff, the Deputy Director of Russia in Eurasia Unit at the Center for Strategic International Studies in Washington, D.C., Reid Standish, Kazakhstan-based journalist covering Central Asia for Foreign Policy, Nicole Grajewski, doctoral researcher at the Oxford University focusing on Russian foreign policy towards Central Asia and Iran, Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia blog, Kishlok Awazi. Welcome on board, colleagues.
Thank you.
Very nice to have you. So, Bruce, let's start with you. What Lavrov has been talking about during his stops in Central Asia?
Well, I mean, generally, you kind of already said it. Security was a big priority in all the talks, although we didn't hear it too much from his visit to Turkmenistan, although I didn't really expect that we would, although it had to have been something on the table. And also shoring up the Kremlin's position in Central Asia. You mentioned that Chinese money, Central Asia won't be seeing as much Chinese money in the coming years as it has in the last decade. That's for sure. Most of the big projects are built. So a reminder that Moscow is and has been a friend of Central Asia, and we see that, especially with because every one of his visits had something to do with energy resources or projects in the three countries. So clearly that was one of the messages that they wanted to send, was that, Russia is still interested in helping out its CIS partners in the region, and that interest will not fade anytime soon, and is also willing to, as I mentioned, help with potential security problems that might arise. And, of course, he started in Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan, and the Russian bases there were a big topic in both countries.
Okay, Jeff, let's continue with you. So what do you see from the type of issues that Lavrov was talking about during his trip, like Bruce mentioned, a couple of security aspects and energy? What does it tell you from Russian perspective?
Well, I think it tells you, and you also mentioned the Moscow meetings of the Afghan opposition. I think it suggests that Russia is actively taking steps to plan for a post-American phase of the Afghan situation, which includes taking more of a role in internal Afghan affairs, but also stepping up its role in regional security, because there is concern not only in Russia, but also in particularly the three countries that Lavrov visited, about the potential for Taliban gains in the aftermath of a U.S. withdrawal. And I think concern that those gains could potentially have spillover effects into Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, and Turkmenistan. And so I think the message that Lavrov was interested in communicating, and you saw this in some of the discussion around the possibility of an increased Russian military presence in the region, is that Russia is willing and able to take on a larger role in regional security in response to what seems to be a drawdown of U.S. involvement.
Mm. So that's very interesting that you mentioned that if the security is the main issue for Russia, as far as we can tell, security aspect was not on the agenda in Turkmenistan. And why? And that's kind of curious question that I will get back to later. But Reid, he escaped Kazakhstan in his tour. You guys must have felt bad about that. Tell me about a choice of his countries, which are just three smallest and poorest countries. What's the logic behind that?
Well, it's largely because, Russia deals with Kazakhstan on a bilateral basis. It's the same reason why Uzbekistan was not included on this either. The Russian foreign policy strategy towards both countries is designed to deal with them individually, because they're seen as sort of these co-hegemons for the region. Hmm. Whereas, this trip that Lavrov just wrapped up, this is, Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan, which are the most unstable, the poorest countries out of the region, and then Turkmenistan. Turkmenistan, which is always this, you know, weird outlier that actually Moscow and Ashgabat have not always been on the greatest terms since the collapse of the Soviet Union either. So I think this is a lot more about, you know, shoring up the flank, so to speak, for Moscow in the region.
Hmm. Bruce, just to follow up on what Reid was saying, like security and some of the energy issues. So how Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan is not relevant to his this specific trip?
Yeah, as far as Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan. Well, for one thing, I would mention that Lavrov was in Kazakhstan recently, last week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly he's got that one shored up. Russia and Uzbekistan have been kind of bumping up their own bilateral relations. So I'm sure that this is something that is discussed all often between officials from the two countries. Anyway, Uzbekistan doesn't have a huge border with Afghanistan, 150-160 kilometers. And I'm sure that in their own bilateral talks that Russia and Uzbekistan have come to some kind of agreement on how that's supposed to work. You know, really that part of the border hasn't been an issue historically for the last 25 years. So I think this was more about shoring up relations with the other partners in the region, you know, like I said, both in terms of security and also trying to bump up some kind of new kind of trade agreements or something with them. And, you know, again, emphasize that Moscow is still there as a trade partner and is willing to help, even as the money might run out from other avenues that they've been pretty flush with cash for Central Asia in recent times.
Nicole, I don't know if you heard all what we were talking about. You were on and off. Just to follow up what Bruce was saying, like, you know, there has been discussion about security, energy, all these aspects, and probably some hints to the discussion that's taking place in Moscow with the participation of all the Afghan opposition leaders there. So what was the response that Lavrov got from Central Asian leaders in response to the type of issues that he raised there?
Well, I think in regards to security issues, Lavrov seemed to really be emphasizing that. And if you look at what he said in Kyrgyzstan, for example, about potentially in response to the question of whether or not Russia was willing to have another base there. But in general, I think that Russia tried to show its reliability as a partner, and also it tried to emphasize that security issues were on the table, as well as economic issues, and try to, I guess, dampen discontent over the Eurasian Economic Union, in particular in Kyrgyzstan, by showing that, you know, we're there for you and we'll also be willing to support you.
So tell us a little bit about how Central Asia responded to those suggestive comments by the Lavrov.
Well, in general, I think if you looked at the Kyrgyz social media and a lot of if you're on Telegram with that, people were criticizing Lavrov's comments and kind of calling Russia's comments when he was at the Kyrgyz Slavic University as somewhat patronizing and kind of paternalistic. Of course, you don't really know what was going on in Turkmenistan if society's not free enough to see that. But in general, I think that it wasn't received as well as I think Russia would have liked it to be received, at least at a popular level.
Why you say that?
Well, if you go on any of the Kyrgyz blogs or look at any of the comments amongst the population, a lot of it is emphasizing that Russia has anti-Islamic views and that Russia is just saying this because they want to be their big brother and revive the Soviet Union. But this is just from Telegram. I think this might be selection bias in general.
Mohammed, if I can jump in, is it okay?
Sure.
I would just say, you know, that's an interesting point, because one of the things that really jumped out to me when I was looking at Lavrov's tour is, you know, he also made some interesting comments about China. I think when he was in Kyrgyzstan, you know, he kind of made a comment, a very Beijing, very Shanghai Cooperation Organization friendly line about how, you know, Xinjiang is none of our concern.
Oh.
You know, I think he was asked about ethnic Kyrgyz, and he kind of basically said, you know, we're not even going to touch that with a 10-foot pole, more or less. And then again, in Dushanbe, I think he said, you know, we see China is our strategic partner, which obviously is not the same thing as an ally. But I think that even shows that, you know, Russia's ceding quite a lot of ground to the Chinese in Central Asia. That's been the story for several years.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, looking at this trip when, yeah, a lot of this is about security, you know, there's some talk about some economic projects, but obviously this isn't anywhere close to what the Chinese are really offering. And I think to me, you know, it shows that, you know, Russia's kind of running out of ideas a bit. And there has kind of been this sort of unofficial bargain, or whatever you want to call it, between the Russians and Chinese when it comes to this part of the world, that, you know, Russia is the gun, China is the bank, so to speak. But really, I think what this trip in me kind of, to me really showed is, you know, China's number one, Russia's number two.
Jeff, I know you discussed the security aspect of what the Lavrov has said. So when he was coming to Central Asia, how much of China was in his mind?
I can't read his mind. But, you know, I think to the extent that there was an economic focus, China is always the 800-pound gorilla or maybe the 800-pound dragon in the room, because so much of the center of gravity economically in the region has shifted towards China in the last decade or so. And, you know, Lavrov mentioned this idea of a greater Eurasia partnership, which has been kind of a Russian talking point for a couple of years now, about kind of taking the Eurasian Economic Union and building it into a sort of trans-Eurasian economic partnership that includes things like the Belt and Road and ASEAN and all of these things. And I think it's kind of a way of trying to make Russia's economic relationships, make the Eurasian Economic Union into a bit of a force multiplier, to try and show that it's on the same plane as some of these other organizations. I think there's a lot of aspiration in that framing of the issue and not a whole lot of substance. But I think that's one of the ways that Russia has to try and make the case that it's still relevant in the region economically. You know, one of the other things that came out of this was that I know in Turkmenistan there'd been some discussion of that Russia was going to start buying Turkmen gas again, which it basically stopped doing a few years ago. And I saw in the press this morning that the Russians have announced that that's not going to be the case. So, you know, when it comes to actual concrete things that Russia is going to be doing to reinforce its economic ties, I think there's still some questions as to just how substantive those are going to be.
Yeah, I don't know why Russia would buy that. I mean, there has been a discussion a number of times since Russia stopped buying Turkmen gas about resuming it, but it never come to any fruition. So, okay, so here I need to recap the debate. Just to remind that today in the Majlis, we are discussing Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov's visit to Central Asia, its timing in Russia's larger geostrategic thinking about the region. We will continue the Majlis podcast talking about this and many other questions very shortly. Before moving forward to some of those issues, let me once more introduce the panel that today I'm joined by Jeff Mankov, Deputy Director of Russia and Euro-Asia Center at the Center for Strategic International Studies in Washington, D.C., Reid Standish, Kazakhstan-based journalist covering Central Asia for Foreign Policy, Nicole Grajewski, doctoral researcher at the Oxford University focusing on Russian foreign policy towards Central Asia in Iran, and Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia blog, Kishlok Awazi, and I am Mohammed Tahir, media man. Manager of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty here in Washington, D.C. And we are discussing Lavrov's visit to Central Asia. So, Bruce, let me start this with you again and be as straightforward as I can. So, in the light of the topics that has been discussed during his trip, like be it the Eurasian Union in some countries, in some other countries, energy cooperation and some other countries, security and the Afghan border and all these things. So what does the Russia wants from Central Asia?
Well, I think generally they want more. They want closer cooperation. There's no doubt about that. You know, he framed it a couple times within the Commonwealth of Independent States and cooperation there. You know, there's some of the things that I didn't see reported that were kind of curious to me that I'm sure also must have been discussed, besides, you know, the Afghan security situation along the Turkmen border. But, you know, in Tajikistan, he surely must have talked about the Eurasian Economic Union and Tajikistan's impending membership. I did not see much reference to that in Russian reports, but this is another way that Russia wants to draw Tajikistan in. It's already known that Tajikistan has agreed to join. I don't know how much of that is willingly or unwillingly. They are dependent on Russia. Still, Lavrov made a big point of saying that trade between the two countries was somewhere around $1 billion. He didn't break that down, so I couldn't speak specifically about that. He also didn't provide a time frame on that one either. But curiously, when he was in Turkmenistan, he also said that he appreciated Turkmenistan's cooperation with the Eurasian Economic Union, and he made a point of saying the Eurasian Economic Community, our union, appreciates the relationship it has with non-members of that, and specifically in energy supplies, which was very curious. You know, we've already hit on the fact that Gazprom is probably not going to buy any gas from Turkmenistan. Even if they did, it wouldn't be very much. But Lavrov's comments seem to suggest that Turkmenistan was in some way part of energy supplies to Eurasian Economic Union countries. And I'm trying to figure out if he meant by that there's a trade agreement that Turkmenistan is trying to work out, a gas swap agreement with Iran for Armenia, or if he was hinting that maybe they are going to start letting some Turkmen gas go back into the Central Asia pipeline that would go to Armenia, as it did years ago already. But it was a very curious comment, and Tass and Interfax made a point of running separate reports just on this cooperation he was speaking about, which I hadn't really heard about before. But of course, that was also followed up by comments that, you know, Turkmenistan has the CIS rotating presidency, and the summit will be there this year, and so you can kind of read into this that he wants to remind these people that for good or bad, they are part of the CIS. And certainly that's Moscow's view. And that seemed to be a huge part of his visit there.
Mm. When did you learn about his visit?
This was last week that it was certainly. And it had to be before that. You can't make a three-country trip like this without having some planning go into it. You know, in the case of Kyrgyzstan, of course, Putin is supposed to go there at the end of March. So that was also part of his reason for going there. And that certainly must have been something they agreed to weeks ago. And in the case of Tajikistan, I'm sure also, you know, it's always kind of dicey to try to figure out what kind of pre-planning goes into Turkmen-Russian meetings on any level. Because we remember a couple years ago when the Russian defense minister showed up in Ashgabat, and that just seemed to come out of nowhere. But this one, there must have been some kind of planning in it. Obviously, the way Turkmen media reported that meeting was far different than the way Russian media reported it. The Turkmen seemed to think that they have a gas deal in hand, and that was really the sole focus of Turkmen media reports on the meeting.
Yeah. Reid, what I'm really trying to understand here is the timing. What might have really triggered Lavrov's trip to the region? I mean, we understand that the region is going through all these issues from long-time economic crisis, boom and decrease. Increase in Chinese investment, and you know, Russia's increasing involvement in Afghanistan, and that has been on the agenda for some time now. So what does the timing tells you in terms of what might have triggered the Lavrov's visit?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the security issues are always something that is on the Russian agenda, especially when we're talking about Tajikistan and the Afghan border, and especially given this kind of large pronounced role that the Russians have been playing in this, trying to insert themselves into the peace process in Afghanistan, especially, you know, against the backdrop of a U.S. pullout. I think that's one big lens. But I think, you know, a lot of this is, you know, when I was looking at this trip, Russia doesn't have a lot of kind of things I would call strategic going on when it comes to Central Asia. You know, the Eurasian Union has pretty much, you know, died on the operating table. It's not insignificant, but it really hasn't become everything that I'm sure Moscow hoped it would become. And, you know, as sort of Jeff was talking about earlier, you know, the Russians are, you know, basically trying to find ways to piggyback onto, you know, Chinese or, you know, wider Eurasian type initiatives. So to me, this trip is a lot of this is it's opportunism. It's looking for different kind, you know, what kind of loose change can they kind of sweep up in the region, whether that is another military base, perhaps that's some sort of, gas deal in Turkmenistan. But, there isn't a lot of long-term kind of objectives that seem to be pursued here. And that's one of the things that really sort of jumped out to me when I looked at this visit.
You know, Jeff, you raised earlier about the, you know, security on the Afghan side. And also the visit comes at a time when Moscow is hosting a number of those opposition leaders, Afghan opposition leaders, including the Taliban leaders. If this trip has to do with Russia's increasing role in Afghan affairs, so what role Russia sees in its Afghan policy for Central Asia?
Well, I think Russia's view is that Central Asia is still, or the borders of the former Soviet Union are still its own kind of security buffers. And so Central Asia is a kind of insulation, if you will, between Russia and Afghanistan. And so to the extent that problems can be prevented from going over from Afghanistan into Central Asia, I think Russia views itself as having an interest in that. And I think both the political side, the the Moscow peace process and discussions with the leadership in particularly Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan about Russian security presence and security cooperation is motivated to a significant degree by this interest in keeping Central Asia as kind of Russian strategic depth against whatever kind of contingencies may result in Afghanistan. And to get back to the question of why these particular countries, I mean, these are the ones that face Afghanistan, and particularly with Tajikistan and to a lesser degree Kyrgyzstan, there's concern about their capability to sort of defend the frontier, the capability of their security services, and whether they'll be able to sort of cope with a worsening security environment along the southern border. Hmm. And I imagine that's true for Turkmenistan as well, but we know a lot less about what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Nicole, first, your thoughts about Russia's evolving Afghan affairs and the role that it sees for Central Asia within its policy towards Afghanistan. And indeed, the related question to that is, what's thinking in Central Asia? Is it ready to play the role that Russia is thinking for Central Asia about its Afghan policy?
Well, I think that Russia's policy towards Afghanistan is connected to its policy in Central Asia, just like what Jeff emphasized about how it sees the external borders of the CIS as a form of a buffer, in a sense. But I also think that this has to do with Russia's perception as a great power, someone able to manage the security affairs within the region. And I also think that Russia's view of its own zone of special responsibility, I guess, emboldens Russia to perceive itself as having this kind of security role. I also thought what was quite interesting was, whereas Lavrov really emphasized security issues in Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan in regards to Afghanistan, he didn't really, this was not in any of the statements about Afghanistan when in his discussions with the Turkmen leadership. And I wonder if that was Moscow's way of pandering to the Turkmen official line that the Afghan border with Turkmenistan remains somewhat reasonably secure, because, as you know, the Turkmen government has denied, or at least ignored at times, reports about instability over there. But I think it still also shows that even though the Turkmen government might not be able to outwardly say that they have these issues, Russia still will try to continue to bolster the security of the region despite this.
No, Afghan-Turkmen border, I believe, is one of the worst there. We know the reports that we are receiving from northern Afghanistan, just the other side of the border, it's the worst it can get. Most of the region is not even under the government control anymore. Bruce, your thoughts on this, do you think the Central Asia is happy to play the role Russia is thinking for them in terms of its Afghan policy? What kind of consequences that might have?
Happy? No, I wouldn't use that exact term. I mean, obviously, they could use some help, I'm sure that they believe they probably could use some help. And if they didn't believe that was true, then certainly Russian officials remind them continuously that Afghanistan could be a problem, and not so much the Taliban, but the so-called Islamic State militant group. You know, if you listen to some of these officials, just as of last week, there are thousands of them roaming around, and you know, so I don't think the Central Asians appreciate the constant reminders that they need help from somebody else. Mm-hmm. Although, in fact, it is true. We're not surprised we didn't hear anything out of Turkmenistan about that. But again, I'm sure that had to be part of the conversation. You know, about what's happening along the Afghan border, and are you prepared? And I'm sure Lavrov shared some of the Russian intelligence with the Turkmen, just to remind them that Russia does know what's happening along the border, even the Turkmen aren't willing to agree to it. You know, but even beyond that, you know, some of the economic cooperation that Russia held out, it seemed, you know, almost kind of disingenuous in a lot of ways. You know, Lavrov talked about hydropower, helping out with hydropower projects in Tajikistan and in Kyrgyzstan, too. You know, and we know that Lavrov even mentioned saying 2-1, and sure, Russia would like to help with more energy projects out there. But we know that saying 2-1 has not, you know, it was built with Russian help. In fact, only 16.5% of that plant belongs to Tajikistan. The rest all belongs to the Russian government mainly, and then two Russian companies. You know, so what kind of help? It's deep in the red. It hasn't been able to show a profit at all. It was supposed to be under a condition that it would be able to pay itself off, and then it would all come under Tajik ownership. It's not even close to happening. So when Lavrov says we're willing to invest in more projects and energy projects in Tajikistan, including hydropower, like I said, I have to believe that that's simply not the case. And the same thing with Kyrgyzstan. Now, admittedly, their ambassador to Russia also raised that point and said, no, of course, we're interested in Russian investment, but we've seen this before. Yeah. It never works. Hmm. So I kind of tended to discount that also as being anything. Mm-hmm. And if Lavrov just shot down any cooperation with Turkmen gas supplies, although, you know, again, there's a lot of gray area here where he mentioned that they were talking about a long term large deal. I can't imagine what that could be.
Yeah.
So, they're still holding out the economic carrots, but they're checking on their security situation. And I'm sure that Russian military officials are probably satisfied that they have what they need, the assets they need in the region, and they can bring anything else they need there within 72 hours. So
let's talk a little bit about the Central Asian need. Reid, you know, what we have been talking about so far is what Russia wants from Central Asia and the type of priorities it has when it comes to Central Asia. So what's that Central Asia needs from Russia? What kind of help it needs? And can Russia provide the type of help that Central Asians want from it?
I think you would agree, yes. I mean, obviously, the cultural, the kind of historical links that exist between Russia and Central Asia are still extraordinarily strong. You know, people still go, I mean, I guess less people are going to Moscow to work as labor migrants, but it's still a place. It's still where you go study. It's still where people have family. And that creates, you know, a kind of bond that can't really be separated very easily. And I think for that, you know, you can never really leave Russia out of it. And while there might be an increasingly kind of nationalist set in all the central countries, this at the moment that is maybe a little put off by these kind of, you know, patronizing kind of policies or tones from this visit, basically saying, you know, we're the big brother, you know, let daddy come in or, you know, and protect you, so to speak. You know, Russia is still generally something that I think most people in this region look at more or less positively, you know, especially speaking, you know, from here in Kazakhstan. But, I would say one thing everyone in Central Asia wants is, you know, a better economy for where they live. They want more economic opportunity.
But can Russia do that? Can Russia provide that?
I really don't think that it's in a position to do that. And if you look at this trip, you know, as we've said, you know, it's a lot of deja vu coming out of Lavrov. You know, it's old ideas that didn't really work before and certainly aren't going to work now. And, you know, the security card, especially when we're talking about the three countries that were visited on this trip, you know, it's still an important card that Russia can play and has leverage on and has credibility. And I think that can probably still manage to have some influence in that regard. But when it comes to the economic front, I mean, I think the Russians have really lost out to a degree. You know, look at their economy is still, you know, hit by sanctions and they don't look like they're going to be coming off anytime soon. Long term, the Russian economy does not look very good at all. Mm. And, you know, you can see that, if you're looking at talk to people in Tashkent or Astana, they're very aware of that. And you can see where they're looking in terms of their economic policies, which are obviously east towards Beijing, but also trying to diversify with all the other kind of regional players, whether, you know, we're talking, you know, India, Iran, Turkey, everybody. So,
yeah. Okay. We are also reaching towards the end of our discussion, but final couple of points here. So, you know, so many issues being discussed there. So what's the outcome? I mean, what Lavrov is taking away from this trip to Central Asia? Jeff?
Well, I mean, I think he's probably taking away that probably not a lot has changed. You know, I think Central Asia is still looking for more economic aid and assistance and various other things. I think they're still concerned about the degree to which Russia respects their sovereignty and, you know, talked about the question of whether Tajikistan is going to join the Eurasian Economic Union. I think a lot of those debates are about, you know, just how much freedom of maneuver these countries have vis-a-vis Russia, and that, you know, the situation in Afghanistan is not good and has the potential to get worse if there's a precipitous withdrawal of American forces, and even if there's a less precipitous withdrawal. And so there's a need to be prepared. It's not a great picture, but I think it's a continuation of challenges that have existed in the region and in terms of Russia's relationship with the region for a long time.
The same question to Nicole, to you. I mean, what the Lavrov is going back with from his Central Asian trip? I mean, is there anything concrete that he's taking away?
I wouldn't say anything concrete. I just would point out that I think that this trip just kind of reaffirmed a lot of the things that Russia's been saying historically or focusing on with Central Asia. I think that nothing really developed from this trip, but overall, I think that it just showed, it was demonstrative of Russia's enduring interest in the region and its will to continue engaging with these states, I think.
Okay. Bruce and Reid, let me end the discussion with one point. So anything particular that you guys will be looking at after this stage in terms of Russian and Central Asian relations and where it goes and what might be the indicative elements to look into?
Obviously, the big thing is, you know, as we kind of have said a few different times in this conversation, is, you know, these three countries, it's not a coincidence that they were all done in large part that I think that this is very much connected to the security situation in Afghanistan and how Russia is trying to, you know, position itself for, you know, a wider strategy in Afghanistan and perhaps a sort of counter U.S. interest there. And I think that they're trying to lump in these three countries for that. But I mean, in terms of things that I'm going to watch, in addition to watching, you know, what happens down in Afghanistan and how all the, you know, the five heads of state of the former Soviet Central Asian countries are going to react, you know, I think it'll be really interesting to see, you know, how the five Central Asian countries start to behave, you know, when Russia's not around, which I know is a big thing, you know, especially we talked about how Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan were left out of this trip. And I think part of that is because they also have ambitions to create a more, you know, intertwined region that is perhaps less dependent on outside players. And so I think that'll be a very interesting thing to see if there's any kind of, you know, more talk of security coming out of Astana or out of Tashkent after this.
Okay. So, Bruce, what you will be watching at?
What Tajikistan would say about membership in the Eurasian Economic Union after this trip, and what Turkmenistan will announce, especially since even in their own media they said that there's supposed to be some big gas deal coming up with Russia, how that develops and what they're going to announce in the media in the coming weeks, or are they going to just forget about it entirely because there is no deal? But yeah, I mean, I think Reid had a good point about, you know, the their regional cohesion is getting better. And that probably was one of the underlying factors in Lavrov's visit, was just a reminder that great that you all get along, but don't forget we're your friend, you know, like it or not, and we will be here one way or another.
Okay, good way to conclude that. Thank you very much, Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia blog, Kishlok Awazi. Big thanks goes to Jeff Mankoff, deputy director of Russia and Eurasia Center at the Center for Strategic International Studies in Washington, D.C., Red Standish, Kazakhstan-based journalist covering Central Asia for Foreign Policy, Nicole Igrajewski, doctoral researcher at the Oxford University focusing on Russian foreign policy towards Central Asia in Iran. Thank you very much, colleagues, for your time and thoughts today.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And this is it from me, Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia podcast. Until next week. Bye-bye.